He's working late.
Okay. We can have big mics set up.
Welcome back, beautiful people of Community Christian Church! Woo!
Alright. What we bring you today is beautiful scripture, I think.
Mark 19. Well, that's awesome. Oh, yeah.
We're living it now.
Oh, are we? So you guys have to have this one.
All the warnings will keep us quiet.
You guys have read this one.
Cool.
All right, well, any announcements? We got
a woman's
Bible study.
Yeah, Bible study. Yeah, woman's Bible study on the
23rd.
Saturday.
Oh, yeah, Saturday. So have fun. I'll be snowboarding, I think. I will be. Oh, yeah, we have a council meeting on Sunday, so you guys are always welcome to that. Oh, wait, no. Isn't it the following Sunday?
No.
No, it's a Sunday? Dang. You know, I can't argue with the calendar, girl.
Because he's... Wait.
Come on in.
Yeah, it's
Don't be shy.
Because the 31st is the Easter sunrise.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
Come on in, have a seat.
He has a quite familiar face.
Yeah.
Have you guys are before, have you? If you guys are hungry, go ahead and dig in.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm like, how do we know him? Hi, neighbor.
Okay, how you
doing? That's what I thought. Well, I can jump
in. Oh, welcome.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, are you sure I know you?
No, I'm probably not, but I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
And the little one with you, doesn't she come over and go up to Cajon once in a while?
Is that... she goes, oh, yeah.
That's okay.
The oldest, yeah, and then the other boys.
Then the boys.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, they just go up for ball, though.
Yeah, they go play ball. She goes to hang out.
Good. Welcome. Yeah, definitely.
Welcome. You guys are always welcome. This is your church. You guys live down the street.
Like walking distance.
Yeah. I'm Jacob, by the way.
I'm Andrew.
This is my wife, Allie.
Hi, Allie. How you doing?
Mike.
How you doing? So, Laura.
Hi. This is my wife,
Jerry.
Laura.
Jerry, how you doing?
Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Jackie.
Hi. Jackie. How you doing?
I'm Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Leah. Same thing. Still Leah.
Okay. It's
always good to have a new face.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so besides the woman's Bible study on Saturday, I think that's it, right?
The sunrise service
for Easter, 6 a.m.
And then the regular service at 9.
And the regular service at 9.
And potluck in between.
Oh, potluck in between.
Oh, don't forget the food.
Oh, yeah, the food's the best part, right?
Spiritual food, you mean?
Yeah, the spiritual food, right?
Yeah!
A man can't live on bread alone.
First.
Yeah, see if anyone's online.
No viewers?
Wow.
This is the first. Where's everybody at?
Yeah, where is everybody
stuck
at?
Stuck on the freeway?
Probably.
It was a busy freeway today.
Was it?
All the side streets were busy too. It took a long time for me to get point A to point B.
Alright, so. That being said, let us pray in, and we'll get started. And we're going to be in
Mark 13,
but first we'll be in 1 Corinthians
13.
All right, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ability to come down here, Lord, and we can't believe that you allow us in the society, Lord. We take it for granted sometimes because elsewhere we can't do this like we can do here. So we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for having a place for us to study, Lord. We thank you for the safety in the walking or the driving that it took to get here, Lord. Forgive us for our sins so that we may dwell with you, Lord, and you can teach us what these scriptures say, not only just read them, but apply them to our life, Lord. Bless the study ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And thank you for open doors for the company.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you for open doors for company.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We love new people. We love all people, right?
You love all people. How you love everybody.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Now, 13's got big reads going into it.
Yeah, 13 is. Anyone want to start us off in 1 Corinthians 13:13, since we always start there?
There are three things that remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
Why does everybody always chop that up? You look at me like, well, you should.
Well, my Bible reads a little different than everybody else's.
Well, yeah, that's the beauty of going with everybody.
Yeah, let's hear Laura's now, because hers is...
How was yours say, Laura?
Mine says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Oh, I love that. Right. Charity.
Yeah.
Look at that, giving to others.
Amen.
Right? All right.
So Mark 13:13.
Yeah, Mark 13:13. We go there because when we read these scriptures, we want to see faith, hope, and love in these scriptures, right? Because that's what remains right after we give our life to Christ. It talks about it in that chapter, and if we see other things, then we're looking at the scriptures the wrong way, right? Because Jesus came to fulfill the law, and the law is fulfilled by loving your neighbor and loving God, right? So if we're reading this and we're taking anger out of it, we're not reading it right, right?
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So what we want to do is we want to read these scriptures in such a way that the way that Christ showed us to read the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the letters were made, right? Mm-hmm. From that. So, as we get into it, anyone want to read or you guys want me to read?
Oh, you just are so good at it.
Yeah
you guys
really
like
it
when I read.
Okay.
Everybody's going to be shy. There's a newbie.
Until you get to know it, then we're going to be loud.
By all means.
It says,
torture people.
First verse. It says, everyone there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus.
You're reading since 1 then. You're not reading 13:13, right?
No, verse 1.
Okay.
Mark 13:1.
Corinthians was 13:13.
Yeah. Okay, just making sure.
Okay.
Did you
find it? Yeah.
Mark. No, I'm on Corinthians, but he said 13.
So. Oh, yeah.
We're on Mark 13 now.
We're on Mark 13. Yeah. Go to Mark.
The faith, hope, and love was the 13:13.
It's the second one.
Right after Matthew.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. No rush.
And
get there when you get
13,
there.
13, verse 1.
Okay.
Okay.
Just about that.
Oh, no, you're good. They were in a different spot, too, so it was a good thing.
No, I was in the right spot, but I seen them really
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was good. All right, ready? First verse, everyone there? All right, cool. It says, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite of the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Hey, Jesus said to him, "Hey, Sarah, welcome."
Hi.
Is there Ben and Jay?
Yeah, of course.
We're in Mark 13, just getting started.
First one.
Actually,
we're on what now?
Five.
Yeah, I think we're on.
Jesus is
speaking.
Yeah, you're
five.
It's in red.
Five.
Yeah. No more red. You said you were gonna read it with.
Oh, firmness.
You said we needed to.
All right. Let's see. I don't think there's any exclamation marks in here. Otherwise, I'd scream like all the texts say, right?
It's coming.
Stop the voice.
No, I see.
Okay.
Is that Mark 13?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So we're on verse 5, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in synagogues.
Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. I was in Luke instead of Mark.
Oh.
Which verse are you on?
Right now I am on 8.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Ready? Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On the account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it is, does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be the days of distress, unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At the time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time, but in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the earth of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Oh, sorry, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. I knew that sounded wrong.
On Red Bulls.
Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Amen.
What do you guys get from that? Heavy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Confusing stuff? Unsure of stuff? Questions?
I realize what's going on right now as we're sitting here. Mm-hmm. All of the signs are going to be here warning us. Or preparing us, however you want to take it.
Was that too much for you, Sarah? Was that a lot?
I'm not going to lie, I'm just kind of everywhere.
Amen, good.
All right, Sarah. But, yeah.
What about you, Jackie?
Is this, we're following up from Tuesday, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, because I'm still reading.
You went on reading?
Yeah, so, yeah, just.
he's speaking the future pretty much basically in the book of Revelation what's going to take place, and for us to be aware of these, what is going to take place.
What do you got, Mike? Anything?
No, well, in this Bible, it goes all the way to verse 37.
Okay.
Which explains that he's telling them all this so that they could be watchful. Mm-hmm. So that they don't, you know, slip back into whatever they're doing. Or
well, maybe let's read the last couple verses in, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, it's about the time unknown.
Yeah. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You don't know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. But I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead. You wanna elaborate on that? No? You guys want to take it from the top then?
Yeah, I think so.
Go over it from the beginning, verse by verse?
Like the overall, that's what it is. You know, it's a warning. Yeah. The end days are coming, and you got to be watchful. Watchful means like walking the narrow road in a relationship with God.
You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be thrown.
Yeah, you can't be unsure.
To be firm within your belief.
Mm-hmm. Nick.
Welcome.
Hey, Nicky.
What's up, Nick? Hey, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Just in time. We just finished reading.
I do it is we have to be alert. We have to be in the Holy Spirit. We always have to be
drive past, take chances, and tell you this.
I did.
Striving, right?
Right. Sharing the good news. Sharing the good news.
Yeah.
Sharing the good news so we can, you know, be alert. Don't fall asleep. Don't get caught in that trap. Stay alert.
Because my grandma used to always say the devil never sleeps.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's always there.
When
he's crossing around like a lion.
So he says, don't fall asleep,
right?
And watch out.
Like,
it's like,
be
careful for the one that never sleeps. Because he's always trying to find a way to slither his way into
disturbance. We can't be sad. Disturbance. Stress. We can't be anything. Because he'll catch us when we're doing
it. Mike, you are such an angel. We all were watching. That's good. He's...
Take your shopping cart back and take somebody else's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, serve one another, right?
We do that
without anybody watching.
Yeah, we're going to take it from
just
the top.
Yes.
So it's almost the whole chapter.
It is the whole chapter.
Yeah.
Because even the break
and obedient.
Yeah, it's still part of it.
And fine.
That's what Mike
is
doing.
And kind and loving and caring.
The Ten Commandments.
Amen.
The Two Commandments.
Ten.
What about
not
the two?
Two? What? Oh, wow.
Well, he's saying he summed it all up into me.
They're all summed up
they're
in
all
two.
Summed up
into love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That covers all ten.
Didn't do that today.
Well, it does, really, because if you look at the last six, they're all about your relationship between men. And your first four are with your relationship with God.
That's jumping right in.
See, so cover them all.
Amen.
That's right
Amen.
There.
Yeah.
Yours picked an easy way out, though.
Mary.
Me.
Not me. No, I'm just eating them.
And you know it wasn't me.
Mary, man.
You want one?
I have
four.
And four, too.
Sorry, I'm trying not to touch.
Brownies or the cupcakes or the forks.
I was trying not to touch where they put their mouth, but it's all right.
It's for the antibodies.
Never hurt no one.
I know. I'm like trying to push it up.
All right. So from the top, right?
Okay.
From the go ahead.
13.
All right, yep.
Okay. I mean from number one, from verse one, right?
Yep, verse one. We're going to break it down verse by verse.
Yeah.
All right, it says, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." Why do you think that was pointed out?
Big and shiny, I guess. I don't know either.
You don't know either? Well, what is he looking at? He's looking at buildings, right? Things that man created.
The synagogue?
The temple.
Yeah, the temple. And in the culture at the time, people looked at what man created and be like, "Oh wow, that's so amazing, that's so cool," instead of focusing more on their walk with the Lord. Yeah, and this was just an example. This is a disciple is asking this, right? And so what he's trying to point out to him is that in the next verse, these things aren't meant to stay. So these things that you build on this earth, they're not going to last.
It won't last.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But what surpasses this life when it all burns up?
Hopefully us.
Right, our soul, right?
Yeah.
We either go one way or we go the other, right?
Yeah.
That's
up,
it.
Please.
Smoking
or
not
taking
smoking.
Me out of the other.
So, oh. Hi, Roger.
Roger.
Online people.
Yeah, online.
He's like, "What? I'm on TV?"
And what he's pointing out is he's trying to get them to focus on something else besides what is currently in front of them, from the worldly lens that they've been seeing their whole life, right? Because, like I said,
concentrate on something they can't see.
Yeah, the beginning of this book, it was like a sweet aroma, right? Showing you all the greatness in it, right? The real easy steps, just focus on the Lord. It's your faith that heals you, right? And then after the feeding of the 5,000, when they cross over, it changes into an instruction, right? A lot of the times the disciples are getting rebuked, right, for the thought process they have, because they've been walking with the Lord, right? And they're getting the idea, and then they get puffed up by it because they think they're something now, right? But the whole time, until about last chapter, everything that was written was an instruction, right? Don't get a big head. Don't wear big old fancy hats, you know.
Don't sit in the highest place.
Yeah, right. Humble yourself before the Lord. Serve one another. Stop trying to be better than the other person, right? It's more of like to get you out of the mindset of what you came from, right? When you give your life to Christ, you put that life to death, right? And it's, when you give your life to Christ, we'll take the baptism, right? When you come up from the water, you're a new life now, right?
Yeah.
But you're gonna go sinning again, right? You don't just become perfect. Otherwise, there would be no. We'd probably just go straight up with them,
we
right?
We have no road to be fighting for.
Right. So then there becomes that walk, and in that walk, you learn. And sometimes you think you know, but you really don't. There's been so many times I've went home from a Bible study, right? Especially young in my faith, where I get home and I shake my wife. I know nothing, you know, because like some revelation happened at church, you know, and because I thought I knew something, and I was like, "Oh, I actually did not know that." Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing it wrong the whole time, you know, and now we're getting into the main course of why Christ came, right? We've gone from the instruction into the reason why he's come. And so what he's doing in this first two verses is trying to get them to realize, stop looking at the worldly things, start looking elsewhere, right? And that's what verse 2 is all about. It says, "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. And of course it happened, right?
Yeah. John 2 says, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days.
Oh, yeah, when he was asking about the temple, right?
But that's why I was like, yeah, it took 46 years, so you can imagine how massive the temple was.
Yeah, and that brings up a great point, right? They're looking at the temple building, mm-hmm. right? And he's talking about the temple in us, right? Stop focusing on the things that
are going to perish.
Mm-hmm. And start focusing on yourself so you can bear with others.
And we all do it. We look at stuff and, oh, I need a new car. I need this or that. You know, the cars get scrapped. They get wear out. I don't know how many cars I've worn out in my lifetime. And you know, the minute you buy them, they're no longer new. You know, you sign your name to it, it's no longer new. And then it gets scratched and abused. And
then it's your car.
Yeah. It's don't nothing the rest. Unless what life lasts. That's what I'm trying to get at. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a house, it wears out, it needs maintenance, and pretty soon it's falling apart. You know, it's everything in this world is going to come to an end. You know, and so we got to look at the spiritual things, and that's what Jesus points out, is trying to point us to. It's like, don't put your hope in the world. Don't put your hope in material things. You know, not even in men. You know, man will always let you down too. Put your hope in Christ and set your eyes on Him. That's where eternity lies. And that's kind of what he starts getting into.
Right.
All this. Yeah, this whole world's going to crash. Don't put your hope in it.
That's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we see it.
Guarantee. My bad, I know I'm new, but now I'm
listening. Speak up, bro.
That's a guarantee. From the beginning, there's an end.
Yeah.
Period. And like, that's the only thing promised in life. Honestly, like, I'm going to throw myself out there. I've done a lot of time. So, like, you know what I mean? In my head, I found him through my little struggle. But at the end of the day, he's the only guy that ever was there for me.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That's the truth.
There for me.
He's always there.
10 years. Yeah. I mean, I'm right here with my kids. Like, yeah, dude, like, he was the only person that never not listened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was always. I mean, never got a response. But, like, I mean.
Right. Yeah, he's always there.
Was it? Yeah. You could always turn the cheek to try to sit there and try to throw an opinion.
Yeah,
that's funny. You said you never got a response, but I bet you did. You just didn't see it.
I mean, maybe. I'm not too sure. he let me come home to my baby.
Yeah.
There's a response right there, you know?
Right there.
Very good.
And the closer you get to him, the more time you spend, the more you put in, the more you're going to hear him, the more you're going to see his hands on your life. It is beautiful just to watch.
It says every great and good thing comes from God above. Everything. Mm-hmm. So anything that's good comes from Him.
Mm-hmm. Trust me, I talk to Him every morning. It's just crazy how this day turned out right now. Weird. Like, I came to wait for a ride, and the next thing you know, I'm right here.
That's how God
talking to you guys. Like, I mean, obviously I know them, but like, I mean, it's just weird. I just took a walk, and I was like, let's go right here and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And then here I am.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. Praise God.
He works in mysterious ways, that's for sure.
And it's certainly not chance.
No.
But I don't believe in chance or luck.
I don't believe in that either.
God ordains things, and you know it happens. But just go with it.
No, trust me. I'm telling you. I know this book. Yeah. Trust me. I know this book really good. And I'm just grateful that you guys actually let me be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Tell your friends.
Went for a walk. Spending time. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. Go ahead. After you. I had this.
You're good, man.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
So it's a study. It's not a sermon.
Yeah. It's a sermon, but of course.
All right, so...
Three.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite of the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Did you guys know that the temple was actually thrown down not much later?
Mm-hmm. I did.
70 AD.
Yeah.
Rome tore it to the ground, and not one stone was left on another because they burned it. They burned the temple, and all the gold in the temple melted, and it went through the cracks in the rocks, so they tore the rocks apart to get the gold out of it. So that's why not one stone was left on another, because they tore it apart to get the gold up. Crazy. But just as, you know, Jesus predicted it.
Yeah.
God says it, it's going to happen. That you can bank on.
Just like my theory of the Big Bang thing. God said it, bang, it happened.
Bang. God said it, and bang, it happened.
Big Bang.
What do you got, Mike? Got anything?
No.
I'm not too experienced in understanding the end times of Scripture.
Just know that
all I know is a lot of it is speculation.
Yeah, I know it doesn't talk about what the abomination is. Even right. Daniel doesn't say it, but speculation, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a sign, I guess, that to them would be obvious. Whatever was there is not supposed to be there.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. I know that, like in some of the other Gospels, the way they ask, it's two questions they're asking.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like a two-fold question.
Right.
When is the temple going to be destroyed, and when is the kingdom going to begin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's two different, they don't even know that they're asking about two different time periods. And so, but Jesus focuses on the end times when he does answer it.
Oh, I never even noticed that. Mm-hmm. What will be the sign that they're
all about? Please don't shake Allie.
I know, right?
Yeah, don't shake Allie.
Look at that. That's pretty cool. I didn't notice that. All right. Verse 4, yes? Oh, no, we already did that one, right?
No, that's
5.
Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many."
I like my version. I mean, I like that version, but mine says, let me read it.
Go for it.
I'm going to read from 5. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I'm Christ. So he says right there, not he, I'm Christ.
Right. That's what it says in Matthew also. I was going back to Matthew just because of Matthew 24:3 says, as Jesus was sitting at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" It's definitely two questions, you know, because he had just said, "One stone of dust, you won't see one stone upon another," you know, and that's one question, and then the other one's the end of the age. But not realizing that it's two events they're talking about. But yeah, I like that because mine, Matthew also says, it says, "I am the Christ." Many will come saying, "I am the Christ."
Mike actually pointed that out to me. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, you're right."
I like about First John. So.
Yeah, I like how that also demonstrates like what did happen in 70 AD was like a small glimpse of that, right? Yeah. It was just like this is a little piece,
yeah.
You know? Especially when we get more into the, you'll stand before governors and kings and stuff, right? Like you could read the book of Acts, that happened straight to Paul, yeah. Right? And he was beheaded because of it, right?
Also, like it says, many will they will say, "I am he," and deceive many. If you look it up, you do an internet search, you're going to see that there's a lot of people claiming to be Christ right now in the world. There's churches, there's a guy, the prominent ones, there's a guy in Russia, there's a guy in England. There's a guy in the Philippines with a huge church. There's one in Miami who has a huge church, and it has a lot of satellite churches too. You know, it's crazy. The guy in Miami actually says, "I am the Antichrist," but Antichrist doesn't mean what you think it means in the Bible. And his congregation are getting 666 tattooed on them. it's crazy. But you can look these things up. It's happening and it's been happening. But it's culminating. It's coming to a point. And so, you know, we're seeing things happen and unfold right before our very eyes. Things that couldn't have happened unless it was this day and age when we have... when we have the internet and, you know, everything's at our fingertips. Like, there's, if you look in Revelation, it talks about on the Wailing Wall that, you know, there's two prophets that come and the whole world's watching them. Well, there's a camera right now on the Wailing Wall and you can look at it live anytime, you know. And so things that are in place now weren't there before and weren't able to witness. And so, you know, when an event happens, we know about it all over the world almost instantly, you know. And so
they're not looking for you when they serve.
Just like I'm saying, we're seeing things culminate. And, you know, Israel, ever since it became a nation in 46 or somewhere around there, they've been at war. I mean, they were given the land, and the next day war was declared on them in their attack. So, I mean, even before they had the means to defend themselves. And the Bible talks about that. So, anyway, I can go off on a long tangent.
No, but that's, you're talking about, those are pieces to the end times.
Yeah.
I think it could also be a little more than just claiming you're the Christ. But it's the people that say that they live in the right way of Christ, but
absolutely.
Lead a following of the opposite of what that is. I think that's what it also means.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be ambassadors of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what the Antichrist, where he says many Antichrists, right?
Yeah.
They come preaching that whatever Christ said, it's the opposite message. When it's twisted a little bit to sound like it, it leads away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, even if it looks like it, it's not
it. Oh, that's how they get fooled, is it looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It sounds like it, it's right. It's
how else are they
going
to convince people they're the Messiah?
Right. Well, the devil comes as a light, an angel of light. He doesn't come like himself. He doesn't trick people.
He's a deceiver. Yes. He's not going to come saying, "Hey, I'm the devil, here I am."
Oh, yeah, I'm selling tickets to hell.
Right?
No, he's going to preach.
Give you that illusion. Yeah.
Right.
Give you a good life.
And that's what we see. You know, we touched on it Tuesday. There was like... Christianity has over 2 billion people claiming to be Christianity from so many religions and denominations, but they all proclaim Christ, right? But not all of these religions know him. You know, there's a difference between putting yourself under a banner of Christ and having him in your heart and having a relationship with him. And that's why the Bible says, you know, narrow is the way, and few find it. A few take the time to find it, and few take the time to find him. And that's what we got to be pointing out. You know, there's a lot of people out there that's saying, I'm a Christian on Sunday, you know, and then the rest of the week, they look just like everyone else in the world. Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with where you get your information of Christianity, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to other people, then you out of here?
Yeah, I apologize.
No, you're good, brother.
Your
thank you for meeting you.
We're happy to have you.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Come back soon.
Blessing. I just
come back. You're always welcome.
Okay.
Thank you guys. No, keep them. Are you sure we keep this?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you keep them.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
Tuesday, Thursday, 6:30.
You guys have a great night.
Yeah.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. What was the last word?
We're talking about a lot of misleading people.
Right, where
Antichrist.
Did they get their information from?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, where they get their information from? Because it's easy just to go online and just watch a video or listen to somebody, and they give you the information that you think you're looking for, right? They're like, oh, I want to go over the first chapter of James, right? But you have to have some discernment and knowledge when listening to somebody. You can't just go there with a blank slate, because if you think that you can listen to somebody tell you what it is, well, then you'll never truly understand what it is. But when the Lord personally shows you, it's a whole different story, right? Like you begin to get an idea of who God is and how mm-hmm. He thinks, right? So when you come to situations, you're like, oh, well, I know God this much. I know I shouldn't be going to do that because God wouldn't want me. I would disappoint Him, right? Like that's that kind of like understanding that you would get from Him. And eventually, you can become discernful. You would understand, oh, that is what the Word says. Oh, that's not what the Word says. I need to stay away from what that is, right? But you can only get that by building an actual relationship with the Lord, right? You can't build a relationship with the Lord by listening to somebody else, right? That's just how it is. And that's where we get all these weird, divisive sects of Christianity, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I believe that we're all Christian, right? Like, if we believe Christ died for our sins, and and we believe that He did that for us, and He's going to let us in, and we live our life in such a way, we're all Christians, right? If we all get that right, that's all that matters. Everything else that people argue about over Christianity, whether, you know, like, since we're talking about, yeah, the Sabbath or the end times, like, whether when it's going to happen, like, who cares about that? That's just divisive things, mm-hmm. you know, instead of actually building a relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Because when you take a relationship with the Lord and you divide it from other people, right, who are also in that same relationship, and you say, no, you don't believe right, I'm going to go do my own thing, and I'm going to call it this, well, then you're just as much, like, you've just brought the world into the house of Christianity, right? And I think as we're moving along in our culture, we're starting to realize that a little bit, right? People have understood that some parts of Christianity as a whole has let them down, right? Because they keep looking at man. Mm-hmm. But we need to stop looking at man, and we need to start getting our information from the truth, right? From God Himself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was at a Bible study.
From the source, yeah.
I was at a Bible study on Monday, and we were going over the Beatitudes. And I understand the Beatitudes.
What is the Beatitudes?
The Beatitudes, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God, right? Blessed are those who are mourn, for they will be comforted, right? It goes along that line.
It's a Sermon on the Mount.
It's in Matthew 5:3 is when it starts.
All of the Gospels have it,
right? I only understood it, right? I only understood it from a very vague understanding of what it's talking about. That these are the things that we will become like, right? And one of my friends who was in the Bible study too disagreed with me. He thought it was something else. I was like, oh, okay, well, let's have a little fun debate over this, you know? And that's what it was. It was perfect that way. But at the end of it, we came to a disagreement. And that's how it ended, right? But we still loved each other. We still hung out with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what it did is I go, what if I'm wrong? And I started diving into it. And I've literally got through the first verse, and I understand it way more than I ever did. In fact, like, I am so, like, I can write a whole sermon just on that one verse, you know? Because the understanding of what, like, poor in spirit means,
mm-hmm.
right? It's so deep.
Hook up a Sunday,
you know,
throw it out there.
And but that right there is what true Christianity is about. Like, when you disagree with someone, you don't, like, oh, you're wrong, you know, that, no, it's like, oh, I'm gonna go spend time with the Lord, I'm gonna let the Lord teach me, you know. And now I understand that first verse in the Beatitudes way more than I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Right, way more than I ever did. I haven't got through the rest yet, because I still got a lot more in the first verse, you know. I only got to the second half of it, and that's how I think people get deceived, is that they'll just go to another man to tell them what it means, mm-hmm. instead of them themselves diving in, causing division, because one man told them that no, it's like this, and another man told that guy that it was like this, and now they just split each other in half, right? Because that's what happens, and I believe that's what a lot of this is talking about. Because there's gonna, like, you can think of like great Christians, right? And you don't know them personally, but you know the words that they said, and they sounded good to you, and I think it'll be the same way. But in a time where people invest a lot less time in things, it can easily turn into like, oh, this person's the Messiah. Have you seen the crazy thing to do? Especially when they start doing miracles and signs, you know. Especially all over TikTok, and be like, overnight, everyone in the whole world saw someone just raised from the dead, you know, stuff like that. So it'll be easily, people will be easily fooled, right? Not knowing because they don't have a relationship. And if you're spending time with the Lord, like, you can't be fooled, right? But if you're spending time with man, oh, it's so easy to be fooled. I've been fooled so many times.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how I see
it. I have the same story. I was telling Laura, that's what brought me to stop listening to everything. Just read the Bible.
Yeah.
I stopped because when I found out one guy lied to me, I was like, ah, and I was repeating this to everybody.
I hate that.
I don't know. There's so many things to me.
It made you a lie.
Especially like when it's like like when people start speaking, like using Hebrew or something. Like I've heard the same word translated 6 different ways. You know, and I'm like, I don't speak Hebrew, and I don't trust that you speak Hebrew, because this guy's telling me this, and you're telling me this. Let's just go to what it says. You know, like.
Yeah, I hate that too, because like, if it's true, then you all have to say the same thing.
Yeah.
How can you have different interpretations? Then right. That's what it is. It's a private interpretation. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You're following a man again instead of God.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I seen Paul Washer. Yeah. I love Paul Washer. He had said that this lady was She asked a question about adultery, so he read her what it said about adultery. And she says, I don't agree with your interpretation. He said, I'm not interpreting, I'm reading the Bible.
that's a perfect way to answer it. That's what it says.
Right.
Got it. You know? Like my brother's been going through a lot in his life, especially more recently now. But he used to be like a punk, right? And being the older brother, I was just like, I just got to tell him how it is, you know? And I'd knock him on his feet, and then... you know, lift them back up. But like half the time I did it, I was just telling him what to do, right? And a man who thinks he knows what he's doing isn't going to listen to a man that's telling him what he's doing, right? And then I started growing in the Lord, right? Because at first I only recently started growing in the Lord, probably about four years ago, and I stopped telling him what to do, right? And he stopped getting mad at me. I just take him straight to... I'd listen to him. I'd let him speak for 45 minutes, however long he needed to. I'd be like, hey, brother, let's open up the word real quick. I got something to share with you, you know? And it'd be just whatever he was telling me about, it'd be just whatever went along with it. And he'd be like, oh, man, I know why you took me here now. You know? And it's not me telling him what it is. It's the Lord telling him what it is, you know? Like, and it's worked so much better because
that's good. Awesome.
He's not hearing it from a man. He's hearing it from the Lord, you know, like that. It's like his life has changed and he's going through some stuff and he relies more on the Lord now, you know, even though I think he needs to get back in church, you know, but when his time comes, it'll come, you know,
in time.
That's the thing about God too. He plays a longer game than we do. We're like,
oh hey, yeah, we're very impatient.
How come you haven't saved them? It's 10 years or 15, whatever God has planned, it's good. Even.
Yeah,
we just have to hold out the hope and never lose that.
So yeah, that's my interpretation on like the I am He, you know, because it's clear when someone says I'm the Messiah, right? It's like saying I am humble. Right, you're like, okay, yeah, sure, you're the Messiah.
Never heard it, only read it.
Right.
One of the other gospels says, "If anyone tells you here he is or there he is, don't go."
Yeah. Or even the Lord told. Every time he was asked, he made it to where they would have to think about if he was it or not. Right. He never clearly said it. He made you think about it.
Threw a parable.
Yeah. the coming won't come with your careful observation. That's what it says.
You know, too, the Jews, a lot of them that are still Jews are not Christians. They deny Jesus the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they see
so
like
they're
a
wide
prophet.
Open for a Messiah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're waiting for him still.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the whole book of Revelation is about, right? Mm-hmm. Them coming to a Messiah, mm-hmm. realizing they put him on the cross or something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, the Muslim in the Quran talks about they're waiting for the Mahdi to come. And the Mahdi is, everything is described as the Mahdi. Everything the Mahdi describes is what our Bible describes as the Antichrist. It's an amazing parallel, and it's like, wow. And they're waiting for that guy. It's crazy. But just, you know.
And it's just Satan, right, that they're waiting for?
The Antichrist, and because they're waiting for the one who's going to wipe out the infidels and, you know.
Yeah, it'll be the one who is, like, fully in the flesh, mm-hmm. 100% flesh, you know, in selfishness, in desire, and it won't be the fruits of the Spirit, it'll be the fruits mm-hmm. of flesh, which you'll see. But he'll be able to fool you because he looks like he's doing the opposite.
Hmm.
The infidels are anyone who doesn't believe and doesn't follow Muslim.
Yeah, because what did Jesus point out in the commands in the Sermon on the Mount? He talked about adultery, murder,
mm-hmm.
right? And in those things, how did he explain those things? He explained
well,
it.
He said that if you look at a woman, you've committed adultery, because the Pharisees were sitting there saying, well, we didn't kill, we didn't steal,
we
didn't commit adultery.
So what did he point out in those commandments?
Their sin.
Yeah, he pointed out their sin, but from their heart, right? Not from what they do, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's what, you know, he was saying, if you have looked at a woman, you have committed adultery in your heart.
Yeah. And it'll be the same way with the Antichrist, right? From in his heart, he's fully in the flesh, right? But he'll look like on the outside,
like
something
like
that can fool you know?
Super nice.
Yeah, super nice.
Super nice.
But he'll go around the corner, and when you're not there, he'll talk all kinds of, you know, stuff around you.
I think like this too, because it's a 7-year period that comes, that's talked about in Revelation. Because it comes with a 7-year treaty. I believe it's a peace treaty with Israel. And there's a lot of speculation on things that through this treaty that maybe the temple gets rebuilt. Who knows? Who knows how it's going to unfold? But what I do see is the first 3.5 years, he's this great deceiver, right? And speaking and such to draw people in. You know, offering them hope, offering them, you know, explanation for why all these people disappeared, and, you know, all this stuff, just offering a hope to the people that are here. But in that midpoint, he shows his true colors, and I believe that's when they call it the abomination that causes desolation. There's a lot of, again, speculation, but. For that first 3.5 years, he's drawing people in. He's offering hope. He's offering unifying the world, so to speak. You know,
he's bringing world peace. Mm-hmm.
Yep, a new system. Just take this mark, and you don't have to have cash. You just show your mark, and you can buy, sell, and trade. You know, some of the stuff actually sounds good, but it's used for a bad way. You know. I mean, a cashless society, you know, you wouldn't get robbed, it sounds great, but yet it's bad. There's a lot of bad that goes with it. Like getting an RFID chip, you know, they're doing it to animals now, you know, you get a pet from the pound, it's got a chip in it, and now they're starting to do it to older people. So they don't get lost, you know.
Sick.
And
I need one of those.
And then they're probably, and I'm sure it's starting with kids too. You know, over in Switzerland, they already have a chip, and they don't have cash. the scan their
Discover card in their wrist?
Yeah. Scan your chip. You know. These things are coming. Yeah. You just scan your chip.
Yeah. She said, and the government's going to know everything about every transaction you make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can also say, you didn't get nothing. Until you bow down to this.
Yeah, well, they already done that. Yeah. They've done that, like, in the society we live in, right?
But that's also happening, too.
Now, they've done that in America. They've done that in Canada. Mm-hmm. Canada's real bad.
And we saw a little glimpse of it through COVID. You know, look how easily the world got shut down. Look how easily it happened. And so people think that these things can't happen, that somebody can't come into control and do a new world order and impose all this stuff. But we saw a glimpse of it. We saw a glimpse of it. You can't go here unless you get a shot. You can't do this unless, you know, you can't come in unless you got a mask. You know, just all this stuff they imposed on us. You know, I'm that wasn't the end, but it's a precursor. You know, it's coming up. Like, these are the signs of the beginning of birth pains. You know, spoiler for the next verse, right?
But also, it's kind of like a lot of times too. What is your PIN number? Wouldn't that be considered something like that?
It very well could be.
I mean, finances and everything. Okay, well, what's your PIN number? What PIN number? What do you mean? I mean, that's where I'm coming across now.
Right.
Well, what PIN number? You tell me. I'm telling you. You need to tell me. I didn't. Mm-hmm. What PIN number? But you know what I mean? Wouldn't that be considered something like the mark?
Well, absolutely. Well, like, look at how we've evolved already. I mean, we used to all carry cash, right? And now almost nobody does. Everyone's got an ATM card. You
not
know?
Everyone.
Well, most people.
Most people.
Yeah.
I carry cash. Not everyone. But it's like it now
inflates
your
see
card.
Outside.
Oh, chip. Cash. No. Bam. Well, and I see people. Damn. So what happens if you lose your cell phone?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, no, I don't need a card. I got it right here. Ching. Ching.
They don't cooperate with me.
Ching.
Ching.
And
it won't work like that.
And we have to get over some gold. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've
done it before. Yeah, they've done it before.
Yeah.
I love her.
I used to be a banker when I was 18.
You know how to count back change without a computer telling you.
But yeah, you see it. You see it unfolding.
It's unfolding.
You know?
I also do believe that every generation has thought they were the last generation. You can always look back, you can read about it, you can literally watch sermons about it all the way back to, like, the 50s, I guess.
Well, even back in the disciples' days, when all came down on them, they start thinking, wow, it's soon.
Yeah.
They have people telling them, too, hey, where's this day coming, man?
Yeah, where's this day coming?
Where's this day? And,
so, like, it could be soon, like, but, like, a lot of it is still speculation. So,
soon?
Like, it could be still soon.
That's what
you know what I mean?
Call it
soon.
Yeah, it could still be soon.
Soon could be tomorrow.
You know, so
soon
we don't want to get stuck in
years,
thinking, like, next year or
years
in the next 20 years.
It's okay.
Like, the world's over, right? I'm just going to sit in my house until the Lord comes. You know, we don't want to do that.
No, you want to run out and go like this.
Yes.
Because that's what happens when people think, like, when they really think this is the last generation, they get stuck and they go, oh, you know, I'm just waiting for the Lord to come back. Right? I think we all are, but, like, there's more to it. You know, you gotta share what, if you really thought the world was going to end tomorrow, you would go out to your neighbors and you'd be like, yo, you got to get on this train, bro. Like, this train is ending, you know? Like, that's the...
Oh, we'd be on our knees. Yeah,
if we really knew, but I think it also rhymes, you know? Like in AD 70, Rome... demolished Jerusalem, right? And they went after the Christians. And I'm sure those people thought the Lord was coming any minute. They were being crucified. They were being beaten. They were being stabbed with poles and lit on fire. Like, those are like, that sounds like more of the end times to me than it does today, you know? Like, I don't see that today.
least in this country. So
I don't. You don't really see it in any other country, right?
You hear lots of people.
The tsunamis taking out. You do see the.
Lots of people, lots of countries, people are being martyred for their faith.
But there's like a difference between, you know, I don't like Christians, and then, hey, look, it's the light of the world, and you light them on fire. Like, that's like, that person understands what it is, right?
God,
you know?
Horrible.
That person understands, you know? Like, that person's going to answer, like, real good.
Wow.
And, but, like, so I'm sure. So the end of a society always looks the same, I think, right? It's just on a global scale is what it's going to have to happen, right? When everyone's on the same page. Yeah, so it looks like it because we're pretty close.
But look at
Hades. We got to be close.
I think it was in Hades. They took, 200 and some children. Now, wouldn't some people think, like, wow, children, they're innocent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but our country does that, too.
Right.
We lose, 85,000 kids.
But it was, you know, you're right. But Haiti just happened now, just recently. It was all over, right? And when you read and all that. And there were children.
Yeah, didn't they come this way?
Like, don't you think people think, wow, they're innocent. Why would they do that?
They're all coming to your house.
No,
they don't have my phone number.
I'm just saying, wouldn't that be considered, signs? You know, people in general, people that, you know...
Yeah, it could be signs.
Could be, you know.
But what we're about to get into is that we're going to see it in all nations, right? It's clear, right?
And the point is, don't get caught up in looking for the signs. Don't get caught up in trying to figure out when it's going to happen. Get caught up in Christ and showing people.
Well, that's what God wants. He wants us to be ready.
He wants us
to be ready at all times.
Sharing
the good news.
Right, and ready's not just us spending time with Him.
Sure.
Ready is shining light out there too, being this person
that's
He's
exactly
called
what it
us
is.
To be. Otherwise, we'd already been taken. Otherwise, we'd already be gone. If we didn't have a purpose here, we'd be with Him. You know, and so we are here. We live and breathe. While we're breathing, we have a purpose. And that's to shine His light. You know, that's it flat out. Otherwise, I always said this, and I believe it. If we didn't have a purpose the day we asked Jesus to come into our heart, they should come up with pallbearers and carry us out. Because we would go. We would go if there wasn't a purpose. But God has us here for a reason. And the only reason is so that He can be seen. That's the only way people are going to know who Christ is by us showing it and living it.
Shine.
Our love for one another.
Yep.
Yep. That's what John says, right?
Yep.
All right, shall we move on? I think we were in 7, right?
Yep.
When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Right? What we're talking about? The end is still to come.
Yeah.
Right? So just the beginning.
We're seeing wars and rumors of wars right now. And it has been. It has been for the last 40 years or so.
If this was like a Lakers game, the tickets would just be available to buy right now.
Hi, Angie. Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, Carol. I mean, Kathy.
Verse 8, it says, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all these things that look like signs, it's what he mentions with the fig tree, right? You can see that the weather's changing because the leaves are starting to grow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a sign, right? These are just signs of it. Anyone got anything to add on that? I think we kind of went over a lot.
Yeah,
I like in 7 where he says, "Be ye not troubled."
Yeah.
You know, even though he's telling them all these bad things are happening, he's telling them not to don't
worry
be troubled.
About it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Barely pass it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Even in death.
Yeah, we already know the outcome.
He faced it. Even in death.
That's all Revelation tells us.
That's it.
Right? That's one thing we can confirm. God wins at the end. That's all we know. You know what I mean? Like, we can confirm that.
He was at the beginning, he definitely is going to be at the end.
Yeah, we don't know how it's going to get there, but when it gets there, we know who wins.
Mm-hmm. Like, who wouldn't take that?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Like, you have the answers to the test. Why risk failing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know the answers.
Well, I see that with the enemy, too. He's read this book. He knows. Mm-hmm. He knows the end. He knows his end is coming. Mm-hmm. And you would think, wow, why wouldn't you just turn? You know, why wouldn't you repent of all that?
He's so deceived himself, huh?
The reason is because he has such a hate towards God that he would rather spend it in eternity in hell than be with God. Because he has that hatred towards God. And so much hatred towards him that anything that's going to draw people close to God, he's trying to destroy. You know, he knows that, he knew that the Savior was going to come through Israel. So all throughout history, you can see it. He attacked Israel and still is attacking God's chosen people. And if God's plan has to come through Israel and there's no Israel, oh, I stopped God. But yet...
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, just kidding.
Even putting Christ to death on a cross. Ooh, I stopped this.
Huh?
His hatred just came. His hate for him.
I think there's a book in the Old Testament that goes through that on like what he was actually falling for. I think he used to be like a preacher of some sort, right?
Ooh.
He was devil?
He was an archangel. He was a musician, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know the story.
Yeah, he was like an archangel. He was one of the highest angels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The angel of light.
But he suffered.
He was all that.
Yep, exactly. He suffered that sin.
Yeah.
That's why in 2 Timothy, when he says, "Don't raise up a one who's young in the faith." Too soon, because they might suffer the same fate as the devil. Mm-hmm. Right?
Wait, say that again?
Don't raise up like to one to teach who's young in the faith. Don't put them in that position. Otherwise, they might suffer that same sin of the devil.
They get proud easy because
the sin
they don't
pride.
Know better. They're young in the faith. And because they're teaching, I know.
Yeah.
They put themselves up.
Yeah, remember what I was
saying? An older teacher would know not to do that. Somebody who's been in the faith. So he says don't.
Yeah, someone who has experience.
Someone young in the faith in a position like that. Because you will, they will have the same consequences.
Yeah, they might not, you know, but don't even risk it.
It's always about being mindful. It's like, I'm not all that. God's all that. God did the work, not me. God did the speaking, not me. It's God's word that brought people, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so
glorify him.
I always let everything glorify God and bring it back to God. I mean, if you look at Herod, how he died, that he was speaking in Acts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was speaking in Acts, and the people are like, wow, this is a God speaking. And because he didn't say, he didn't denounce them, saying, no, I'm not God. He fell over and died, and his guts and maggots were boiled out of him.
Right after?
Yeah, he just fell. Herod.
He's a king, yeah.
Well,
there's a bunch of Herods.
There's a bunch of Herods, but
you know,
one of the Herods.
One of the Herods. I don't know if it's the same Herod that, you know.
You have to John's, remember our God's a very jealous God.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's Satan. Satan thought himself... God gave him this power and then went to his head, you know, and then God saw it over and over, and it says it a few times in the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, look, they've eaten from the tree of knowledge, lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever with that knowledge. Why? Because with that knowledge and living a long time, everyone's going to end up getting prideful. And then he said it again in the Tower of Babel. These people are coming too smart. They're learning too fast. We need to confound their ways. And so they confounded their language to thwart that, lest they become like us, you know, and even cutting short our days to 120 years. You know, it's all for our benefit so that we don't start becoming too high and mighty. And now we're in a day and age where information's at our fingertips. We don't even have to learn stuff. I can just ask Google, you know, and so we can become too prideful, too proud real easy and real quick, thinking we're all the, you know, when we got to give the glory to God, because from Him comes all things, and to Him gets all the glory.
That's what we're looking for. I didn't kill Richard. Good.
But yeah, it's all pride.
I know it is.
It's all pride, and pride's that all sin, it comes from pride in some way, shape, or form.
So you're saying the pride came from the enemy, the devil.
Well, he was the first one to be.
Was Jordan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know, that was a tangent, huh?
It's all right. It was a question that was asked. All right, verse 9, right?
We got 12 minutes. Get your prayers in.
If George is not here, I'll just pass right over that. Just close out.
I wanted to ask earlier, but I didn't.
Oh, he's up. He had to work overtime.
All right, verse 9, you guys ready?
Yeah,
we're ready.
You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local council and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. You guys ready for that?
Yeah. As ready as we're gonna be.
Well, yeah, and that's one of those things, like we all would like to think that, you know, we would stand up and wouldn't cower, but, you know,
nobody strong. Knows, just nobody. Like Peter, I'm not denying you, Lord.
Yeah. Are you kidding? This very night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times.
Three times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Jesus told him he was going to deny him, mm-hmm. and Peter said, not I.
I also think that it plays more into that, like, us as in our own spirit, we don't know. But us in the spirit, that the relationship that we build with God shares those things with you, and you go, oh my gosh, how is God not real? Like, you know, like, are you kidding me? Like, why did I wait so long? You know, like, stuff like that. So when you got the spirit like that in you, you know, that relationship that you build, when this time comes, you're going to be like, okay, I'm ready to go see the Lord, you know? I'm not going to... I've read, I've been told, and I've been shown, you know, like, what happens if I don't stand, you know? This is a game to you guys, you know? Like, sure, let's play it.
Let's play it.
That's like Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Sally's online. Just say hi to him right there. Or Sally, Jordan's online Billy. Right there.
Sally.
Sarah?
Sarah.
That's what Jordan calls him. Sally. Calls her Sally.
Thought he was supposed to be working.
Till 6. Yeah, and then so...
Oh, yeah, I just passed
out. Mm-hmm. So this is something that when the time does come, and these are still the pains of the of what we're going through, is like, it'll be like the book of Acts, where we get brought forth, we get put in prison. And he says, on the account of me. So they'll say that you're a Christian, all right, you made that choice, come with me, sir, you're arrested, you know, and you'll be brought forth. You know, and we won't worry about those things. If anything, I think what will happen, like, when I read about stories of people going to prison for their faith, or being like on the verge of death for their faith, you get this moment that is like pure bliss because you're so close. You know, the whole time you're in that terrible time that you think in the world is terrible, you're spending all that time with the Lord, right? Where I've heard like testimonies are like, man, I kind of want to go back because there was that moment that I was just spending so much time with the Lord. He was right there with me. I was like in his presence, it felt like, and I missed that, you know? Like, I've heard testimonies of some of sorts like that. So I think it, the people that do choose, it'll be a choice and there will be a reward on the other end of it immediately. He'll be right there with you. You know, these aren't things to be scared of. These are things to like rejoice in, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly, rejoice in.
That's even the next verse.
Right. And when, and the gospel must first be preached to all nations, right? Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit, right? Because when you're in that peril that you think is, at first you're like, I'm just spending time with the Lord because this is all I know to do when I'm in trouble. And then at the like 3 months in, you're like, oh man, what else is there to do? I'm gonna go spend time with the Lord, you know? Let's do this thing, you know? And the Holy Spirit will. I actually like you can literally read this in, I think 26 of Acts, when this is like specifically. Like laid out where you can read about it in Acts, like how it looks like, what it exactly looks
unfolds,
like.
Yeah.
You know, where in front of King Agrippa, Paul is brought forth and says what the Holy Spirit gave him, and it's like the most profound thing that has ever been said.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so if you haven't read the book of Acts, you know, get on
it. Multiple
times, yeah.
It's so bomb, you know.
Peter.
That's like the best, that's like the second best part of
Stephen.
Acts.
Yeah,
Stephen's another good one. He gives a great sermon right before he gets stoned. You know, gets to see the gates of heaven, you know, as he's looking up into the
and
cloud.
Stoned, he wasn't smoking something.
Literally.
He was stoned.
I'm going to read that one, man. You mean I got that all wrong this whole time?
But it's beautiful, too, because, like, the Bible promises that you spend time in this word. It says, my word I have hidden in your heart. You know, and I'm sure we've all had these times where people come up to and ask us something or going through something and a word comes out of it. You know, a word comes to mind, a verse comes to mind, and we share with them. That's the Holy Spirit drawing those words out of our heart. The more you spend in there, the more deposit you have. And the Holy Spirit draws these things to mind. I have a very bad memory. I have a very, very bad memory. But man, the scriptures just come out, and I just thank God for it. And it's supernatural. I know it is because I know what I've done to my brain cells, you know. And I see it, you know. And so I've had many, many conversations with people, and the Holy Spirit draws verses out. It's beautiful. Tough questions to ask, and man, the answers just poof, I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. It's just amazing. And so I see that in there that you just trust God. You trust God for the word. Don't worry about your defense. Don't worry. Just pray and trust God for it. You know, Bible says over and over not to fear.
Yeah. And I think the next couple verses, right? It says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and hate them and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And like that's encouraging because you're gonna look when you're off when that choice is made finally. When you make the choice, I'm gonna stand with God or I'm gonna stand with man, right? You're gonna see two sides of the aisle, and when you know, like the love on the side of God, and you see this on the other end of it, you're gonna be like, I'd rather, you know, like I'm gonna. This is the easy choice for me. You know, it's like encouraging. You know, you're gonna be able because you're not gonna get fooled into it unless you're like actually not paying attention. you know, you'll get, that's when you'll get fooled into it. But if you're paying attention and you're striving what God calls us to do, you're gonna know when you make a good choice, or you're gonna know when you make a bad choice. Just like when you sin, you know you make a sin, and you don't know. It's not like when you don't know you make the sin, right?
Exactly.
It's literally the same thing.
Before you even get ready to do it, you know
you're gonna know, mm-hmm. right? You're gonna make that choice.
When you're saved, though.
Yeah. Well, when you're saved, you
know more.
Yeah. Right. You're gonna know.
Yeah.
You're gonna be like, oh man, I'm gonna do this.
Like that saved. It's like sometimes people don't.
Generally, you know right from wrong, you know. Most people.
Yeah, but morality in a human sense is culturally formed.
But taught me right from wrong, what you do and don't do with people or things and situations.
Yeah.
Morals, that's it.
Yeah, well, morals from a human standard. Are culturally formed. They're not.
Well, yeah.
You know, like.
Of course.
Like, each generation gets worse, as I'm sure you guys can tell, right? Like, my generation are much more punks than your generation, right?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure I'll say the same thing about the next generation after me, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I will. But that's because we grew up in different times, and the morality has changed from those times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a. When you have a stance in the world, your morality gets skewed over time, right? But when you have a stance in God, it's the same from the beginning all the way to the end. You know? It doesn't change. So that's how you can't be fooled, you know? So we end there?
13?
Yeah. I think so.
Because we'll all be awake next time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything good. I was fine until Paul fell asleep in front of me.
I fell asleep?
But
I didn't fall asleep today.
All right, you guys want to try an experiment since Jordan is not here?
What's that?
No.
What?
No. Oh,
come on.
I'm shy.
I know you guys want to.
What?
Tonight would not be
the
night for me.
What we're going to do... Just hear me
13,
out.
14.
Yeah, just hear me out. And if you guys say now, then we'll do it the old way. What I was saying is if someone has a prayer request, when we all go to prayer together, someone will say, hey, I got that prayer. Right? And then you'll pray for that person on that prayer. Right? And then another person will say, hey, can you pray for me for this? You know? And then another person will say... Like, we'll go through and see what the prayers are, and someone will just grab that prayer. And then when we all go pray, we'll all pray for that prayer, right?
Okay.
Of course. You think we're just going to go home and pray?
Well,
hey, did you do that prayer?
That's what I'm thinking.
Here, bro. He's
like, take that puppy home.
So Kathy said, Kathy has a few of them.
All right, just read the first one.
Yeah, I don't have none.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
I don't.
Jackie Howell's sister Jeanette prayed for her because her husband Everett had a stroke and passed away.
All right, anyone got that one?
Oh.
You got that one? All right, cool.
CJ, that's Kathy's brother's Carl's son.
Mm-hmm.
He's two. He has a speech appointment tomorrow. Wants prayer for that.
Anyone got that one? You got that one?
Faster. All
right, cool.
little boy's doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. Great speech, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's his name?
CJ. Carl's Jr. I mean, Carl Jr.
I call him Carl Jr.'s CJ's anyway.
Memo. Pray for Memo.
Anyone got Memo?
I'll take that one.
You got that one?
CJ for Memo.
Right.
No.
And
you always threw it out there.
Anyone else? Anyone got prayer?
And Jacob's hip replacement surgery coming up in May.
Anyone got prayer for Jacob?
We'll pray for him.
I pray for him every night.
Mm-hmm.
And every morning.
Amen.
You got a love or no?
Tonight.
No? You got a love? I mean, if you can.
Man.
I don't mind.
Jordan says, I'm not a girl that's messed up.
Mike,
I'll take Jacob. I got Jacob.
Okay, here's the speech aid, right?
Anyone else? Any guys could think of? No? No? You guys are just shy? You guys don't want to speak to the Lord?
Glad to see Sally. Glad to see Sally tonight.
Yeah. Alright, so I don't know if you guys done this before, but usually how it goes, like someone will open, and then once it gets quiet, if you feel you need to speak, go ahead and speak, you know, about the prayer that you accepted, and then it'll get quiet again. Another one jumps in. And then Paul's going to end us, all right? I'll start us off.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right.
Make sure you remember that our open door blessed us tonight.
Oh, I have a prayer request for the new guy that came.
Yeah, okay. We're blessed with.
Amen. Anyone got him?
New guy.
I've been working on them for a long time.
Anyone want to pray for him?
I don't even know what I
mean. The Lord knows.
Lord knows.
Mm.
There you go.
You got it, Paul? All right. Anyone else? That's it? All right, looks like we're all praying.
You know, while we're out of Eric.
Eric?
We haven't seen him in a little while.
You got him, Jake? Yeah. Pray for Eric? Okay, cool. Anyone else? All right, that's it. You guys ready? Don't worry, you guys don't have to sound elegant. Right. Teaches against that. Right. Mm-hmm. Just talk to the Lord like he's your dude or your bro, because he's your friend, you know. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for this study, Lord. We thank you for this time that we gather and can spend it and read your word, Lord. And I know this word is a little tough sometimes, Lord, but help us understand it. And if we can't, Lord, help us think about it so that when we do get confused, we run to you and build a relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I want to pray for Jacob and his hip, Lord. Keep him looking at you, Lord. Don't let him fear, Lord, and ease his mind, ease his heart, and remind him that he's been through it before, Lord, and that he's gotten through it before. And the outcome on the other end of it is so much more beautiful, Lord. And I want to pray for those doctors, Lord, that when the time does come, that their hands are like magicians, Lord, and they put it back together just like how you formed them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, I just pray over Jackie's sister, Jeanette. I ask that you shower her with your comfort, Father God, as she grieves for her husband. I pray for her family and just guide her and show her what to do. I'm pretty sure that she's going through a lot, so just comfort her, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, I pray for we pray for CJ tonight. We pray for his speech, Lord. We pray that your hand would be over him and his entire family, that you would all teach them whatever they need to learn to get to walk through this road, so that CJ could start talking. And thank you for everything you're going to do in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, wherever he is, Father, just lay your hand upon him. Anything that he may be going through, or any issues that he has, I ask that your hand be over him, Father. Be over him and everything he does, Father. Just keep him safe and keep him well. In Jesus.
Amen.
Uh,
So I pray over that new guy that came in. I ask that you guide him towards people that are ambassadors for you, Jesus, and just shine the light on him so he can yearn for your love, Jesus, and let him be curious of the word so he can know the truth and him and his family can be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for this time together, Lord, and thank you for, I do thank you for the new guy that came in, Lord, and his daughter, Lord, and I pray that something touched them and that they come back, Lord, and that they can grow, Lord. Help us to be those people shining the light, Lord. I want to lift up Memo to you, Lord, and just pray that you help him with what he's going through, Lord. Take away the pain that he's in, Lord. And we ask for healing for him, Lord. We just lift him up before you, Lord, and pray that you remove this, Lord, as well as Shirley, Lord, and Lou and Janet, Lord, Aunt Janet. And just pray for all these people, Lord, struggling with cancer, Lord, or whatever they're struggling with, Lord. We just lift them up before you, Lord, and pray for healing. And more importantly, Lord, just pray for more of you in their life, Lord, that they would feel your presence, they would feel your arms around them, Lord, and just bring them the comfort that only you can bring, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. And also, Stephen and Catherine and Si is not here, Lord, and I just lift them up to you, Lord, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, Lord. Just pray we miss them, Lord. And it's funny how easily we grow close to people now, Lord, and used to take us years, Lord, but now in your spirit, Lord, we grow close to people quickly, Lord. And Lord, we're blessed by them, Lord, and I thank you for them, Lord, and just pray that they grow in you, Lord, and just keep blessing them, Lord. I also want to lift up Carl to you, Lord, and pray for his eyes, Lord, and Lord, that you would heal, Lord, that you would take this away from him, Lord, and help him through it, Lord. Lord, we don't have the hows and whys of things, Lord, but we just know that we know that you can take them away, Lord. You can heal them, Lord. And so we just ask for that, Lord. And we just thank you. And I also want to lift up Nick and his schooling, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that you open doors, that you make a way, Lord, and help him with his testing, Lord. And just help him to get through it, Lord. Just give him the answers, Lord, and the knowledge, Lord. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you, Father. And we thank you for this time together, Lord, that we can share your word, Lord, and grow in you, Lord. And just help us all to get back home safely, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.